Thank you for tuning in to the weekly sermon from Journey of Hope. We are a welcoming community that fosters belonging and acceptance. Through ministries, we enable individuals to transform their lives as they learn to follow Jesus Christ. We follow the guidance of the Spirit in sharing our faith through missional adventures, building relationships, and offering our witness to our community and world. We are one church with multiple campuses in the Elgin and Bartlett communities. To learn more about us, you can check us out at johumc.org, our church app, or any of our social media platforms by searching Journey of Hope. And now, may you be blessed by this week's message.
Today's scripture reading comes from Luke 24, 13 to 32. If you could please stand as you are able for the reading of the gospel. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. When some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" May God bless this reading, hearing, and understanding of his word. Amen.
The third day, a Lent study and worship series that we hope continues to give us new insight into the resurrection of Jesus Christ as we look through different lenses. So we've got a couple more weeks to go, and so over these next couple of weeks, we continue to journey through the season, viewing it through the eyes of some of those in Scripture. We're going to see what the resurrection could possibly mean, and we've already seen this through Mary Magdalene and Simon Peter and Thomas, and now the apostles on the road to Emmaus, even Paul and Jesus himself. However, I truly hope that over the course of the next couple of weeks here, that you continue to see the resurrection in a new light for yourself. What difference does the resurrection make in your life? Does this extraordinary event in history guide your Christian faith? And what insights can we find as we gaze through the eyes of these biblical characters who also encountered the risen Jesus? Now, I understand that Jason has been leading you through this journey with letters from our focus characters throughout the series. And while I got to tell you that I kind of taken a different direction, however, Jason's continuing this. And so earlier today in our Elgin campus, he shared a letter, and I would imagine that this letter was from Cleopas to the church. I'm going to encourage you to get onto our social media, to get onto either Facebook or YouTube or even through the app. And as those videos are uploaded, that you can go back and listen to that letter that Jason shares in that service here. But you see, I'm focusing on how the encounters with Jesus, which those in our series have had, will affect our lives and what we are being called to do in light of these stories. And so will you pray with me? Gracious and almighty God, I ask that you would send your Spirit, that you would fill us with your Spirit, that the words that I speak would no longer be my own, but they would be your words for your people. God, your message for your people. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we look at the resurrection of Jesus through the eyes of those closest to him, we turn our attention to a couple of guys who were traveling down the road to a town called Emmaus. Now we know that one of them is named Cleopas, and he's traveling with his friend. They're headed to a town called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. Was this Cleopas' hometown? Maybe his friend's hometown? We don't really know, but I guess we could assume this because when they got there, they invited that stranger that joined them. They invited him into dinner and invited them to stay the night with him. What we do know is how they were feeling, however, as they began this journey. And I must say, no pun intended, it was not a journey of hope. They had just witnessed one of the worst weeks in history. They felt like they felt this joy of this welcoming parade. This welcoming parade into Jerusalem and on that Palm Sunday. They heard Jesus teach so much in those last few days. And they shared a beautiful meal together with friends and loved ones around that table. And then things got ugly. The church leaders had their close friend, Jesus, arrested, tried, and sentenced in what seemed like probably a matter of minutes. Right in front of them, they witnessed Jesus being beaten, ridiculed, and finally crucified. Jesus was dead. They quickly lost hope of Jesus taking authority by overthrowing the Romans. They lost hope that they would begin, or that they would part, they'd be part of this new leadership, this new kingdom that Jesus was going to bring. And they lost hope as they watched the community that they belonged to begin to dissolve. So they left town. But it was on the road that we hear just how bad things really were for them. If you remember from the reading, they were encountered by a stranger. They begin to share all that had happened over those last few days. They explained everything about Jesus and how he was killed. And then they offered these words in verse 21. I think we have verse 21 up there for you. But we had hoped. Three little words. We had hoped. Three little words that describe the despair, the frustration, the sadness, and hopelessness that they were feeling. They lost all hope. There's no longer a chance for them. I wonder if you could think of a time in your life when you might have lost all hope. Have you had a moment in your life where you've kind of felt this way? You ever reached a point where you felt like there was no escape, there was no chance, there was no hope? This comes in major disappointments, loss, or even those suffering from depression. This hopelessness that Cleopas and his friend were experiencing blocked their ability to see that Jesus was walking right alongside of them. Right with them on this journey. Now, I don't know about you, but I had always read this story, this part of the story, and thought that it was God that was blocking their hearts and their minds and their sight from seeing who was really with them. But Tom Berlin in our story sheds a little different light on it by saying that it was their hopelessness. It was their hopelessness or their despair that was keeping them from seeing that Jesus was with them. And I think we can relate. I know that there have been many times that I have felt like the weight of the world was coming down, and I couldn't see a way out. Maybe it was a huge paper in seminary or in school, a big exam that you have to take, along with any number of any projects that we're working on, and I just couldn't figure out, how in the world do I even start? There's so much. My vision of how to complete this was blocked by my feelings of being overwhelmed and hopeless. You're probably thinking of some of those situations that you've had in your life right now. How do you get out of it? How do you get out of those feelings of hopelessness? How do you get out of feeling overwhelmed and all the work with all the projects? And when I think about that, when I came to my senses, I go back to this familiar phrase. How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. What did you say? Piece by piece. Piece by piece. One bite at a time. Yes, one bite at a time. I mean, you got to take little pieces, little wins. I mean, maybe some of you are eternal optimists and find hope in everything. Maybe you're like a guy that I know. A guy's name is Lloyd, and you probably never thought you would see this in worship, but hey, I'm going to show you something here. Lloyd is from one of my guilty pleasure movies. And so go ahead and show that clip of Lloyd.
What do you think the chances are of a guy like you and a girl like me ending up together?
Well, Lloyd, that's difficult to say, and we really don't...
Hit me with it. Just give it to me straight. I came a long way just to see you married. Just least you can do is level with me. What are my chances?
Not good.
You mean not good like 1 out of 100?
I'd say... more like 1 out of 1,000,000.
So you're telling me there's a chance? Yeah!
1 out of 1,000,000. So you're telling me there's a chance? Well, most would say that there is no chance in the world that these two are getting together. Lloyd sees a 1 in 1,000,000 chance. It's still a chance. He has hope, even if it might be unrealistic hope. But is that all that hope is? I mean, I had a conversation with somebody this past week about her feelings toward this concept of hope. Her vision is that hope is some kind of wishful thinking. Wishful thinking. Hope that something would happen. I hope I get this job. I hope I do well on this test as I finish senior year. I hope the doctors come back with good news. I hope the Cubs win the World Series this year. I hope. But I'm not sure that this is how we need to look at the word hope. If this is all it is, does this mean that we can say that we have hope in Jesus Christ? And if we do, that means that we just hope that Jesus might exist? Is that a wishful thinking? When we hope that we will get to heaven and be in the presence of God and all of our loved ones who have gone on before us, does this mean that we are wishing for a place called heaven, not fully believing that it exists? I hope not. You see, we have this hope, which is, as the writer of Hebrews tells us, is a strong anchor for the soul, which reaches into the inner place behind the curtain, the place where Jesus is. The context of this verse is rooted in the promises that God has made, including that which he made to Abraham so many years ago. It's the covenant that God makes with all of us. This is the hope that we cling to, not something that we wish or dream that could be true, but something that we know in our hearts is true. We know is true. Hope is assurance. This is what we cling to, especially in the most difficult times. Hope is what brings us out of the darkness of despair and into the light of the truth. We all know someone who has been in this dark place of despair. And maybe it's us that have been there. Maybe it's us that is there right now. We long to move into the light, but we just don't know how. And so I want to offer something to you. I want to offer another clip from another movie. And this movie is called Freedom Riders. And it's about high school students. But this clip shows a particular student who describes the dark place that he was in and how he was able to emerge out of the darkness. So go ahead and play that second clip.
Ms. G, can I read something from my diary?
That'd be great.
Who's he?
Man, he's been with us since freshman year, fool.
What's his name?
I don't know.
The summer was the worst summer in my short 14 years of life. It all started with a phone call. My mother was crying and begging, asking for more time, as if she were gasping for her last breath of air. She held me as tight as she could and cried. Her tears hit my shirt like bullets. And told me we were being evicted. She kept apologizing to me. I thought I have no home. I should have asked for something less expensive at Christmas. On the morning of the eviction, a hard knock on the door woke me up. The sheriff was there to do his job. I looked up at the sky, waiting for something to happen. My mother has no family to lean on, no money coming in. Why bother coming to school or getting good grades if I'm homeless? The bus stops in front of the school. I feel like throwing up. I'm wearing clothes from last year. Some old shoes and no new haircut. I kept thinking I'd get laughed at. Instead, I'm greeted by a couple of friends who were in my English class last year. And it hits me, Mrs. Gerwell, my crazy English teacher from last year, is the only person that made me think of hope. Talking with friends about last year's English and our trips, I began to feel better. I received my schedule, and the first teacher is Mrs. Gerwell in room 203. I walk into the room and feel as though all the problems in life are not so important anymore. I am home.
I am home. I am welcomed. I'm accepted and encouraged and loved. I have hope. See, last week we talked about Thomas and his doubts. I mentioned in the Elgin campus that doubts and questions when we are alone can lead to despair. However, those same doubts and questions, if asked in a community like this, can lead to a stronger faith. It can lead to hope. You see, Cleopas and his friend were walking together, no doubt asking each other questions and sharing all their disappointments and longing for a different ending to the story. They had hoped for a better outcome. They had hoped that Jesus was still alive. They had hoped that they would be celebrating a victory on that day. But they were losing all hope, which is why they couldn't see the person walking with them was Jesus himself. So too for all of us, when we face life's challenges, we may become disillusioned and hopeless. It can keep us from noticing that Jesus is walking our journeys with us. Jesus is right by our side. Jesus is with you today. He is here with all of us. You see, remember that it was in the breaking of the bread that their eyes were opened. It was in the breaking of the bread that they began to receive hope again. It was in the breaking of the bread in community they recognized that Jesus Christ was in their midst. And so I wonder if we are in that place today. I wonder if we are in a place of wondering about hope, of wondering whether or not Jesus is with us. Are we blinded by our hopelessness? Are we blinded by the disappointments? Are we blinded in our life to know that God is with us? And if so, know that you're not alone, that there are so many who face the same situation. But today, we celebrate. We celebrate the breaking of the bread. And so it's in this breaking of the bread as you come forward to receive the elements, maybe that you receive that bread and you realize that, like Paul, the scales fall off your eyes and you're able to see. Maybe you're able to see a totally different future. Maybe you're able to see all the way down the road how things are going to be so much better. Maybe you're going to see a new plan for you. Or maybe you're going to see far enough that you can take that next step. Because for some of us, that's all it needs. We just want to be able to take the next step. Because then there's a step after that. And one after that. Before you realize it, you are on that journey again. Amen. We get ready to go forth from this place as we see the candles being extinguished, knowing that not only they go out here, but the light travels with us and goes us out into the world with us. And it is the light of hope. So it is that light of hope that you carry within you, that you can carry to others as well. So hopefully you have received that hope today, and now you can take it and spread it to all of those around you. And so I ask now that you would go, knowing that the love of God, the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit goes with you, and it goes with you always. Amen.